A particular trend we're looking at this today occurs in an area much given to trends, the world of museums. And this week we're finding out how things are changing when it comes to Jewish museums. To talk about that, we're joined by Avril Alba, Director of Education at the Sydney Jewish Museum. Avril, welcome to By Design.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
To begin with, there is a global trend now in building new Jewish museums. Why and why now?
Great question. I'll begin with the general and go into the particular because, as the old saying has it, the Jews are just like everyone else, only more so. And I think it's true when it comes to museums. Thinking about this question brings to mind the work of a French historian, Pierre Nora. And with my greatest of apologies for my French pronunciation, but Nora isolates this idea of the proliferation of what he calls lieux de mémoire, so sites of memory such as museums and memorials throughout the past century or so. And he says, why do we see this growth? Well, we see it, he argues, because we lack what he calls milieu de mémoire, actual living, organic communities of memory, if you like. And I think that's probably true. We live in an age where we are separated, if you like. We are historical beings. We don't live in these kinds of organic memory cultures anymore. Now, for Jews, of course, this is all the more so considering the epic events of Jewish history in the 20th century. And so when we see the growth of Jewish museums, and in that I include Holocaust museums, although they are a slightly different genre, and we'll no doubt talk more about that. But I think that is in some ways a direct result. Certainly the museums that have grown up in parts of Europe can be directly traced to that idea, I think. But even museums in countries such as Australia and America, I think, can also fall under that category.
So there is a particularly, there does seem to be, as you say, a lot of Jewish museums. I mean, I did check out with a Buddhist friend whether there'd been a sudden growth in Buddhist museums, and apparently not. So it does seem to be something especially Jewish.
Yeah. And again, I think you can link that back to the Jewish experience of modernity, even. The fact that, you know, you have Jewish emancipation, and that brings up, I think, a series of issues for Jews, which is, I think, another historian whose work springs to mind and who is a consultant at the moment for a planned museum of the history of Polish Jews in Warsaw is an American professor, Barbara Kirschenblatt-Gimblett. And she does a marvellous study of French Jewry and their exhibitions at various, national and international museum displays in the early part of the 20th century. So we're talking prior to the Second World War. And what she says is if you really look at those displays, what you see in a sense is not so much a display of what Judaism is, what Jewish culture is, but how French Jewry perceives themselves. What does it say about themselves? And I think that is part of the consciousness of the modern Jewish experience as well, has been what do we think of ourselves and how do we transmit that to a culture in which we're both a minority but significant contributors to that culture?
What about what you put in the museum? Are there enough given the growth in museums, are there enough exhibits to go round, or is it not really about the traditional kind of exhibit, the fading manuscript or the elaborately wrought old object?
Right. Again, that brings up a lot of issues. Museums, if you like, stand and fall many times on their collections. And a collection is something that is not doesn't simply come out of air, as we know, and it's often linked to either the historical or the communal experience of the particular place. Now, if I take our museum as an example, because it's the example I know best, when we were sourcing objects for our most recent addition to our permanent exhibition, which just opened in November of last year, Culture and Continuity, our assistant curator, Shannon McGuire, had a lot of problems, if you like, sourcing for this particular exhibition because it was to do with Jewish culture, ritual, traditions. And by and large, the Sydney Jewish community, certainly up until, say, the last 10 years or so, has been dominated by the experience of Holocaust survivors. Now, if you think of those survivors, and indeed they were the people who founded this museum, they did not bring with them the Judaica, the precious objects of their homes, because indeed that was taken from them. So our collection really, in a sense, reflects our community. So when we were developing this display, not only did we have to be very creative about the use of objects and sourcing them, but we did also have to work with, yes, with other techniques. And that's where the design team comes in and the interactives and putting across that message in different ways.
Well, that we're getting close to the important question of the degree to which your Jewish museum is going to be dominated by the 5-6 years or whatever of the Holocaust out of, you know, several thousand years. But let's just look at the bricks and mortar. You visited a number of Jewish museums around the world. Is there a common architectural language or approach emerging here?
Yeah, it's definitely one of the perks of the job. I guess, you know, the obvious figure that has to spring to mind is Daniel Libeskind. And if I take two of his buildings, I think what we can do is in fact, illustrate your point nicely and, in fact, the problems and potentialities that it holds. And that is, of course, his no pun intended, monumental work on the Berlin Jewish Museum. And then his most recent work, which is the San Francisco Museum. Now, taking the Berlin Museum first, this is a museum that in many ways encapsulates the tension that you're talking about within the very architecture and display. Because the architecture, for anyone who's seen it, I'll give a very rough description, but it is basically a zigzag that must immediately spring to mind the idea of a shattered Star of David.
Yeah.
And the building itself is made up of what Libeskind calls axes or these kinds of halls that lead to, or at least one leads to, what he calls a void. So the architectural language is clear, it is strong, and it is quite overwhelming. Anyone that's been there can tell you that. The display, of course, is meant to be about nearly 2,000 years of German Jewish life. And it's this tension and it's this almost this fight that goes on between the exhibition and the building that really provides ongoing interest, I would say. But it is in some ways an unsolvable dilemma. Unless, of course, you do what they did at the San Francisco Museum, which is to explicitly create a museum that is purely about Jewish life.
And that's true in Melbourne, isn't it?
Well, that's right.
You've got a Holocaust memorial, you've got a Jewish museum.
That's right, yes. So perhaps if we bring it back closer to home, that's exactly right. The solution in Melbourne was to create two institutions. In Sydney, we've chosen not to do that. And we're often asked why, and we're often told that this is possibly not a good idea. I tend to disagree, because I think that part of the history, showing the history of the Holocaust, is showing the resilience and the renewal of Jewish life post-Holocaust. And certainly, again, when you think of who founded this museum, survivors, predominantly survivors of the Holocaust, I think it is actually, in a sense, part of their story to show how they indeed re-established and reinvigorated Jewish life in this city.
On ABC Radio National, you're with By Design. I'm talking to Avril Alba from the Sydney Jewish Museum about the new trend in building Jewish museums across the world. Avril, one of the consequences, the hideous consequences of the Holocaust, is that in places where there were once a lot of Jews, there are now none. So we have, don't we, the phenomenon of the Jewish museum where there are no Jews.
Indeed. And if there are Jews, there are, in fact, growing, small, but growing Jewish communities in, say, Poland, Germany. They are not the communities that were there prior to the war. They are generally Jews that have come from the former Soviet Union, and their culture and their way of life is very different. So, yes, this is an ongoing and interesting dilemma, and certainly some of the most dynamic and interesting Jewish museums are or have been built in these areas. Again, I think the problem that you have with these kinds of museums is how do you tell the history of, if you take Polish Jewry as an example, at one point the largest Jewish community in the world, certainly the most, if you like, culturally literate and productive, some of the greatest Yiddish writers, the greatest Yiddish plays came out of this cultural milieu. How do you tell that history with the knowledge of its end? and do it justice. That's the hardest thing, I think, in to my mind, and I know it's probably a question that as those planning teams and those exhibition teams go through the very detailed work that it takes to put together an exhibition such as that, it's a trap that is all too easy to fall into.
Now, I think it's interesting that when you talk about the Polish Jewish community, you talk about the richness of the Jewish culture, and then you start using the word Yiddish. Of course, there are Jews, and there always have been Jews, who don't speak Yiddish. They speak some variety of Spanish, like Ladino, or they just speak Hebrew, which brings me to another question, is that do Jewish museums have, as it were, to present a united front? Can they acknowledge divisions? Can they even acknowledge antagonisms within Jewish culture?
Well, I think it would not be true to Jewish culture not to, to be totally honest. I think it is intrinsic, not just to museums, but to Jewish culture itself. And I think actually, in a way, Jewish museums can make a very unique contribution in that sense, because I think it's something that a lot of museums are struggling with. I know the Museum of the Native American in Washington struggled with this very issue. How do you tell multiple stories of a quote-unquote same culture?
Okay, well, to find out some of the stories of Sydney Jewish culture, you can go to the Sydney Jewish Museum if you're in town. Details on our website at abc.net.au/rn/bydesign. Avril Alba is Director of Education at the Sydney Jewish Museum. Avril, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure.